I've got to come clean on something. I've had trouble lately with the news. I don't know about you, but I find it just torturous to pay attention to the local news, whether it's the newspapers or the magazine articles or whether it's Rachel Maddow or whomever it is, even the people like Rachel who are doing an outrageous job. I'm having trouble, like for the past month or so, watching it without feeling a kind of torpor. And that's tough on me because I'm a talk show host, and what I do is take the news, look for something that's happening in the world, and try to bring it here on the show. So every day I look through the news and look for something that I think will mean something to you, to me, something that I can say, yes, this matters. This is different than what people are going to hear on any other talk or television news show. I look for something that will have an impact, a real impact, not just the clatter, but an impact on my life, on your life, beyond the chatter and cluttered claptrap that has become the modern media circus. You know what I mean? And it's been 2 weeks since I've done this show, and so you'd think that in that time I would have come up with something topical. I mean, something that I could pull from the headlines. We had a lot has happened in the world since then. Anthony Weiner resigned. Osama bin Laden has been replaced. 32 senators finally told Grover Norquist to shove it. Fukushima has been officially declared a meltdown. And, of course, Ashley can't make up her mind which man she wants to give the rose to on The Bachelorette. But you see, that's the point. Because for me, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, I can't tell the difference anymore between ABC News, Rachel Maddow, PBS, Norman Goldman, or The Bachelorette. And it's not because I don't pay attention, or I'm lazy, or I don't care, or because I'm an idiot. Although some people might want to argue that last point. I think it's because somewhere within me, there's this yearning to move on from that conversation. And I bring that a lot to the show, and I'm actually kind of discovering it as I bring it. I want another conversation entirely. Something in me keeps turning away from the news of the day. Do you find yourself doing that? And I kind of have to pull myself back. And it's not because it's too painful to look, or it's too boring, or too redundant, all of which are too true, but because I feel that there's somewhere else I should be looking. Do you feel that way? I mean, sometimes I feel guilty about it, you know? I mean, for Christ's sake, I'm a talk show host. Shouldn't I care more about the political gossip of the day? I mean, isn't that where it's happening? That's where the industry is focused. That's where all our attention is focused. But I'm finding that I just can't muster the concern. And I'm not even all that into sports, so how hard would it be for me to make the play-by-play decline of the American empire my championship season? And I often ask myself, you know, if I can't muster the passion to care about the topical chit-chat of the day, shouldn't I at least be able to fake it? But the thing is, I do care. In fact, I think I care enough about what is really going on in the world, and care enough about the people who take time on a Saturday during their one and only life to listen to me, not to fake it. So I'm not going to do it. And if you ever hear me faking it, if you ever hear me phoning in my passion or squeezing out crocodile tears like Glenn Beck, you have permission to call this show and take me to task, because that's information I need. Because I don't ever want to stop genuinely caring, but I refuse to fake it, because that's the growing edge of this life, right? Can you take all that this world throws at you, all the slings and arrows and losses and heartbreaks and tragedies, and still retain the capacity to genuinely care? Can you live in this petty, insane slaughterhouse of a civilization we've created for ourselves with eyes wide open, and wake up each day, in spite of all of your personal disappointment and despair for the planet, and insist that this world, yes, this one, is worth loving? That it must be loved. That in fact you and I are the only ones who can do that. That it all depends on us. Because without you and me finding a way to keep that feeling alive, genuinely alive, there is no innocence left in the world. And no hope. because it's our capacity to genuinely care, to find a way to love the whole doomed human project each and every day that will save us in the end. It's what keeps us human. It's what keeps us alive to ourselves and to each other and preserves the possibility that we will actually evolve a politics of love, a politics of caring. And then, man, I'll read the newspapers and watch the TV shows with a whole different point of view, right? I mean, then paying attention won't be this kind of torturous effort. It won't be gossip, and it won't be, you know, facts masquerading as truth. And we won't need a bunch of suited technocrats explaining what is wrong with our world to us like we were children. We will instinctively understand what is wrong, what is needed, because it will be a story we understand. Because it will be a story about us. Now, I'm not saying it will be perfect. I'm saying exactly the opposite. Of course it will be imperfect. That's what keeps it interesting. But it will be an imperfect story about an imperfect world that makes perfect sense. And that's because it won't be told to us. We will be telling it to each other. And I guess that's what I'm looking for. And that's what I can't stand about what passes for news today. It drains me of hope. It diminishes my capacity to care. It numbs me to the pain and suffering that should arouse active compassion and enough outrage to act. So I've got to say that I think I really do care. It's just that I feel so saturated with useless information, so completely overwhelmed with soul-dampening stimuli, but I don't know how to respond anymore. It's all sound and fury, signifying nothing. It's news fatigue syndrome, the place where we go to watch the world die in slow motion. And so I've got to look away. And when I look away, I imagine all the noise of the world, all the clamoring and industry and ambition, all the troubled minds and torn hearts and oppressed souls, all the chatter and bile and attack and perpetual cymbal crashing, gut-wrenching, tortured madness of this world coming to a complete stop. And then, in the silence, we are there. Where we've always been. Right here. In this silence. Because this is where we will start again. And sometimes I think we are so hell-bent on destroying ourselves because we believe it's the only way to get back home. Back to the peace of this sacred silence. Because this is where we can remember ourselves again. Right here. So I say, let's not blow up the whole thing just to get back home. Because that's the great illusion of the world, right? That somehow we've been displaced, set adrift, that we're strangers in a strange land. And so many of the stories that we've been telling for thousands of years are all about going home, or how we can't get home, or how we're lost, and if only God or Jesus or Muhammad would just come back, they could show us the way home. But if any of those people were to come back, I think they would probably tell us the same thing. That we are home. That we never left. That we belong here. All of us. And that if we would stop our activity long enough to remember, if we would refuse to keep telling ourselves the same old story over and over and over again, we would discover a new story. Because the real news, the real information we need for the next age is not out there. It's right here, vying for our attention in the vast open silences of the human heart.